So on the one hand, you're thinking, oh, this guy could maybe get more snaps, that guy could get more snaps, but they only had, what, 52, 53 for the game?
They did. And that's where it's, you know, as I look back at it, obviously everybody had a vision of what it was going to look like, right? And regardless, it never, I try to tell our team, it never quite, you know, looks like what you expect it to, but you got to be able to adapt and adjust. And it didn't look like what we wanted, right? Maybe you want to see big plays. Maybe you want to see, you know, whether it's both teams where you want to see more action and some things like that. That's not the way that it went. And then sometimes you just got to find a way to continue to manage those things. And that's what, as I look, I'm like, I'm upset, but I'm also happy, right? We won the fourth quarter. We did some things really well, but in a way that you're not never satisfied, but you're not really happy. You're not feeling like, okay, this is what we wanted to be able to do. But then you look back and it's like, well, what would you have done different? You know, okay, make big plays. But, you know, in those situations. So it's been one of the games that I could probably say is a little bit of an enigma. I can't put a finger on exactly what, you know, why I don't feel great. But there are some things that, you know, definitely we're going to be able to build from.
Yeah, coaches, though, you guys are kind of sick like that. And we talked about this after the game. It's a perfect world is when you win the game, but you have a lot of stuff to correct, so you keep guys on edge. Is that a fair assessment?
Yeah, you know how it works, right? I mean, if you ever feel really good, I mean,
that's when danger's around the corner, man.
So I hate to say that that's the way I live my life, but don't ask my wife because she has to live with it no matter what. So, yeah, it is. But, you know, again, it's like I said, there's a lot more to it as well, right? But, yeah, it's hard to be any bit way satisfied, and we aren't going to be. But we also know there's a lot of things we can do a lot better.
So you're saying, Tausch, in your time here, your position coach, Jim Huber, they had that a boy, here's some ice cream, go
I'm
relax.
Telling you, there was one time we were a veteran group at the end, and in training camp he came up and said, I'm going to treat you guys professionally, and it's not going to be all the yelling. We had one bad practice, and he said, that's enough, man. I need to treat you guys. I can't treat you guys like that because you'll take advantage. And we all kind of were like, yeah, it's weird. We didn't like it. You didn't like it. Let's just go back to the way it was.
Back to normal. I tell you one thing that was fans got to see. Well, they got to see Ches Malusi again, who missed most of last year, as we all know. He ran hard. Fans got their first look around here, though, of Tawi Walker. I know you've been seeing him for quite a while now, but that – there are always moments in a game. And that touchdown run that he had, that was about as impressive as it gets, isn't it?
Yeah, and we had seen things like that in spring ball and even in fall camp. And, you know, actually I was hoping to even see more, right? I mean, the opportunities that happened. And they didn't show up quite as much because a lot of them were up inside and you know, as offensive line guys. I mean, it was 6 yards, it was 5 yards. It wasn't the big breakout ones that, you know, take some time sometimes to get, but that was one that was in the open space. We had seen it a bunch. He was a guy that got dinged in the first series, you know, and it just shows me a lot more about the kid, of his toughness and his mentality, that I don't know that they thought he was going to be able to continue to go, and he wasn't going to stay out. And they kind of looked at it and said, well, what do you want to do, coach? I'm like, I trust him. If he says he can go, he can go. And he continued to go back in there. But it ended up working itself out because it gave Ches a greater opportunity to kind of maybe even get things rolling a little bit more than maybe he would have, you know, had we been bouncing back and forth with the both of them.
And as talented as all of your freshman running backs are, there are some guys who are saying, hey, don't forget about me. Like Kay Giacomelli, Jackson Aker, there's roles for those guys, obviously.
There are. And that is a very loaded group of guys that have different skill sets. And I'm excited to see them continue to use them in different ways. Like I said, that's one of those things, you know, we wanted to be able to do, but then all of a sudden, as you get into that game, you have three series in the first half, and all of them are very efficient. It's like, well, do you change, right? Do all of a sudden we come out there and do something different, even though in the first half it was working? Maybe not the way that everybody wanted to see it work, but maybe the way it had worked, you know, for a long time around here.
Yeah. We've seen a lot of 16-play drives through the years.
A lot through the ground, and yeah, it was the air raid. What? There's a lot of that talk going on.
Let us pound the ball. This is the Luke Fickell Show. We're at the Evans Transportation Victory Hall here at Camp Randall Stadium. We'll take a break. More to come in a couple of minutes on the Badger Sports Network from Learfield.
Hey, Badger fans, it's Matt Matt from Brewpub Lots and Matzah Pizzas, a proud supporter of UW Badgers Athletics. Nothing beats sports season. Every touchdown scored, every spike for side out, every three, that's nothing but net. Sports brings us all together. And the greatest conduit of it all is a Brewpub Lots and Matzah Pizza, loaded with the finest high-quality meat and veggie toppings, then bombarded with award-winning Wisconsin mozzarella cheese. Brewpub pizzas are a must-have for your game-time grub. Snag one today from the frozen pizza section of your local grocery store.
Hi, Drew and Jonathan Scott here, reminding you that a lot of life's firsts are better with help from American Family Insurance. Like your first home expansion or your first big lightning strike. There's a first for everything. Get the right home policy at the right price with the right help from American Family's agents. Life's better when you're under American Family's roof. Insure carefully, dream fearlessly. Get a quote and find an agent at AmFam.com.
Products not available in every state. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.
Join the Wisconsin Department of Corrections and make a positive impact on lives across the state. Enjoy an excellent state benefits package and a nationally ranked pension program. The Wisconsin DOC is currently hiring registered nurses with a starting pay of $41 per hour to provide essential health care to those in our care. To learn more and to apply, go to wisc.jobs. That's WISC.jobs.
With the Badgers, every touchdown is more than just a touchdown. It's a testament to the teamwork, elbow grease, and can-do attitude it takes to make it to the end zone. And while our fields aren't the kind you throw passes on, Case IH knows every successful farm is more than just a farm. It's the product of top-notch tillage, planting, harvesting, hay, and forage equipment at the hands of hardworking growers. Settle the score with superior tools by visiting your local Case IH dealer or go to caseih.com/badgers. On Wisconsin.
College sports fans now have access to hundreds of weekly podcasts that zero in on the college sports world. Now available in the Varsity Podcast Network and part of the new Varsity app. The app is free and available from wherever you get your favorite apps. Download the Varsity app today to have access to hundreds of national podcasts as well as your favorite team-focused podcasts. The Varsity Podcast Network, now available for free on the Varsity app. Download from the App Store and listen today.
Hi, it's Matt LePay, voice of the Badgers. On the field, the Badgers are always on the move. Off the field, that's where Evans Transportation comes in. As Wisconsin's 3PL, they move over 30,000 shipments a year right here in the Badger State. That's dedication to keep things moving here in Scotty. Evans is excited to support Badger student-athletes and is a proud partner of Wisconsin Athletics. Find them at evanstrans.com. That's evanstrans.com. Go Badgers!
Badger fans, visit uwbadgers.com/contest to enter for your chance to be the Culver's VIP family at a UW football game this season. Four families will be selected with a chance to compete for cash on the field at halftime. That's uwbadgers.com/contest. We continue with the Luke Fickell radio show presented by Zimbrick Fish Hatchery Road. Badgers taking on South Dakota coming up on Saturday afternoon at 2:30. Well, last week we got to meet Kenny Guyton, one of the new assistants. He handles receivers. Another one of the new assistants is with us tonight, coaches safeties. He is the co-defensive coordinator. Warm welcome, if you would, please, to Alex Grinch joining us here tonight. Thank you. Well, I'll ask you, I guess, same question. We were talking with Kenny last week, just the, you know, coming here and getting acclimated and trying to find out, where's Middleton? Where's Verona? How do I get to the stadium from there? How's that whole process gone for you?
Well, it's been tremendous, and that's the one thing. Anytime you take a job, it's that's the stuff you don't know. And so this is you hear a lot of great things about Madison, and like you're saying, the surrounding area certainly doesn't disappoint, and the people as much as anything. And as a coach, you don't get to see them because you're in the building with the people, but your family does, and so been very warm and welcoming, and certainly thrilled to be here.
Have you gotten to do anything fun, or is it you're just taskmaster and you can't get out of the office? Like, get out on the lake, do any fishing?
We had a pretty good Wednesday practice.
On a glorious day.
That's right.
Here in Madison.
No, I didn't necessarily mean today. I mean, yeah. I understand in season, but out of season, when you got here, was it just a whirlwind? You were just trying to catch up with what was all going on?
Yeah, it was, and getting the family here, which we moved pretty quick, and I don't like being away from them, and got them here and got the kids in school and all that stuff, and kids' sports, and And so that has been good because as a kid, you know, soccer and some basketball kind of get to all over the state for some of their games and stuff like that. So it's been positive.
When you come here, like day one, week one, first couple weeks, what are the things that you want to get checked as you take this job here?
Number one, I mean, you walk through the door, the first thing you do, because you're talking about February, you want to be in the weight room and you want to see the guys, and then it all starts there. And Coach Brady does a phenomenal job down there. And so, you know, you're thrilled when you walk in, you see the guys train, and you see the culture on display. And so that's number one, and then get a chance to meet the guys, and then go from there, and everything obviously builds up till spring football. But to see the guys train and the feeling that you have in the building, you know, it starts in the basement and kind of works out all the way up to the eighth floor. So that's kind of the day one, week one type stuff.
So let's go through this last game. How do you think your guys played?
No, there's you know, as you go through the game, there's always some missed opportunities and plays that you want to have back. I mean, you see 24 all over the field, which is exciting, and that needs to happen. You know, you need to have, you know, seniors, leaders, guys with those abilities make some plays for you, and it certainly did. It was good to, you know, Preston Zachman, the other safety spot, you know, solid as well. And then Max Lofi at the nickel spot, you know, guy that didn't play last year due to injury, really came on this spring and continued over the summer in the weight room and workouts that way, and then continued into fall camp. And obviously you got to do it on Saturdays, but held up very well, and so I think it's a good starting point.
So, Hunter, what are you seeing from him? Just as I know you weren't here last year, but from a leadership standpoint and what the expectations are, because I know he has high expectations for himself.
Well, he does, and he's a flat dude. I mean, he's a guy. He's a football guy. Obviously, well-respected in the locker room, which is huge. So when you say leader, it's because he does it, and then he carries himself a certain way. You kind of get almost used to it at times. You just kind of expect him to be where he's supposed to be, when he's supposed to be there, making plays. And I think the hardest thing for us is, you know, to get him off the field, even in practice. You know, just this is the discipline piece as a coach is, you know, make sure we get some other guys, you know, ready, not just in case, but guys that can play for us on Saturday. So he can't be the blankie, you know, the security blanket for us. So, although he is.
I was wondering, the blankie, okay.
Yeah. I thought you were going to say binky. It was your binky.
I thought of that, too.
We were talking with Coach Fickell last week about now with tablets being used and you know, the video and kind of talking about trying to strike the balance, how much is too much, but it is a great tool, correct?
It is, and you just got to remind yourself that your opponent has that same tool. And so I think one of the things we talked about is not having position meetings on the bench, you know, where it gets so inundated with what already has happened, you know, making sure that we give the guys the appropriate coaching points, but giving them the necessary space to get ready to go do it again. I think as a coach, you kind of immediately want to, you know, watch the video and coach through some things, and certainly we did that. But you also want to make sure that the guys are, you know, looking forward as opposed to just, you know, what previously happened. But, no, it's something that I think we're all itching to have, and so it was good to start using that.
So they don't have it in the NFL, but they have the still pictures, right?
Yeah, I mean,
did they even have that when you were playing?
We had still pictures, and it was funny because
that wasn't a joke. I mean, I know he's getting a little.
I mean,
bit
you're older than I am.
I know,
Matt. I don't know what you're laughing about.
I'm 112.
You're older than all of us.
I know.
But no, it was funny because you have the still photos, and your coaches would be sitting there like, "Well, what happened on this?" And you know, you want to calm everybody down. So you say, well, this is what I saw. Well, that's not what. And then you can just, you know, they're just keep ripping pages like, oh, well, this, he moved here and all this. So the tablet, I would think, yeah, there's no BS in it. Like, it's verified. You see it.
But isn't there a time when you kind of want to just decompress in between series? Like,
100%.
Do you want your guy coaching you? That's what we're trying to figure out. Like, yes, it's
balance?
A great thing, but like, there's a point in time as we play the game that like, hey coach, can I have 30 seconds to like just get my mind right and before we go back out there? Like, so that's where, you know, I'm always like, hey, you got to know your guys, you know who can handle what, and you know, do they need some of their own?
Yeah, I would guess from a player's standpoint, you want to see, okay, well, this is something that we maybe didn't practice or something that we're going to adjust. And outside of that, you there is that balance of I want to make sure you're prepared, but you have to let guys go. And I'm sure with the tablet and that's probably the trickiest part of that.
No, it is. And I think that, you know, one of the other things that you know, is looking at through a self-scout perspective. You're saying, okay, what is your opponent seeing on the opposite sideline? How are we lining up and some of those things? So, you know, making sure it's not just for the individual guy, you know, after a series, it's also for us as coaches kind of see if there's some, a tell or something along those lines, alignment-wise or call-wise, that we can help ourselves with.
You've had years, we go back, as we visit with Alex Grinch in his first year, obviously, at Wisconsin, co-defensive coordinator and safeties coach. But a couple years ago, out at SC, you had a defense, you had a team that led the nation in turnover margin. You've had other defenses that have created a lot of turnovers. Imagine every coach wants a bunch without giving away the secret sauce. You found apparently a formula to be able to get the ball from the offense.
Well, I mean, it starts with an emphasis, you know, and being violent. We say violent hands here, which is gives you a shot. You know, getting enough hats to the football, you know, is something that, you know, allows for that second piece, that third piece, you know, with the impact of one more hand on the ball carrier, the impact of one more shoulder on the ball carrier, you know, and it's the same thing in the pass game, you know, throwing a hand up, you know, matching hands and putting ourselves in a situation that, you know, defensive lineman or a blitzer can get a hand on the ball somewhere around the line of scrimmage and that get tipped and or an errant throw. And so all those things matter. And those, you know, ultimately all circle back to, you know, the techniques, the fundamentals, and guys being where they need to be when they need to be there. And then in coverage is making sure that, you know, that a zone coverage guy is not a cone on the field just defending grass. You're there to break on a football. This is, you know, a spot on the field is a starting point. And then when ultimately the ball's in the air, I'm going to go attack it. Or I'm going to man, and that man, in that great anticipation that they're going to throw the ball to him. That's my job description, and I got to make sure I do a great job. Either get him on the ground or get the ball on the ground. And so, again, it's emphasis. I think, you know, when you don't get them, you say they're lucky. And when you do get them, you say you trained them for it. And so we're going to err on the side of training them for it. And got a couple last week.
Let's be lucky along with it.
That's right. That's right. We'll do both.
Well, that's the one thing. I mean, it was, you know, they had the muff punt, but Austin Brown's got to be there to make the play, right? I mean, you got to be there to pounce, and he did.
Well, we talk about effort and attitude, and that's a great example of it. There's several decisions that can be made on any down of football. That includes all 22 guys, and if you make the wrong one, you're going to miss some opportunities that way. And so it was available to him to, you know, at the worst case scenario, low, for at some point have some level of hesitation. He rolled back that film, and he didn't have it, including other guys. And that gives you a chance to kind of take advantage of some of those opportunities.
So how did you feel? I think one of the things you guys are always nervous about, and you know, you don't have a preseason game, live tackling when you're doing it. How did you feel your guys in the back end did?
Well, you immediately think about the one you missed, you know, yeah, or the couple that you missed, and that's okay. But I think holistically, I think we felt like we left the game certainly on the plus side from a tackling standpoint. And some of that was, you know, including, you know, several in the way of gang tackles and a bunch of hats around the football, which is a good thing. Certainly don't walk off the field and say, you know, that it's a minus going into the second week, and, you know, it's tackle circuit time all week. So, but it's a one-week study, so it's something that's got to continue.
We'll ask Coach Fickell about this in a few minutes, but your impressions of South Dakota. It looks like a very hard-nosed team, couple running backs in particular who are tough to bring to the ground there.
Yeah, and you know, you combine that skill and scheme, which they do a great job of matching up in a program that expects to win football games. And then you can tell they're very confident in what they do. And obviously from an opponent's standpoint, again, us being their opponent, is making sure that, you know, you certainly don't give up the easy ones, give up the layups, and be ready to pound a little bit on Saturday afternoon.
For fans who don't know, and I know some do, but for those who don't, Coach Grinch is uncle, Gary Pinkle, College Football Hall of Famer, inducted a couple of years ago. Now, you were a GA for a couple of years, right, at Missouri, and then you came back for another 3 years. I know it's business when you're in the building and on the field, but that had to be kind of cool.
No, I was. I'd probably think about it more, you know, not being there. You just look at it through the lens of an assistant coach, and you got a role to play within the organization, and you want to, you know, enhance the skill set of your guys and get them to play at above their ability level, and that's your focus and aim, and obviously very appreciative of the opportunities that several coaches over time, but certainly, you know, I'm a Gary Pinkle disciple, you know, discipline, attention to detail, and those things, and so that travels in the coaching ranks, and so very appreciative of that time.
I'm thinking his last answer, Luke, is part of why you hired him, but you've known Kenny Guyton since he was 18. Yep. How well did you know Alex Grinch?
Actually, we didn't really know each other. We had talked on the phone maybe once or twice. We had a connection through a guy that worked with us named Tim Kite, who was a phenomenal guy who just passed away But we had a connection via Tim, and when this kind of situation came up, I was actually talking to Tim, and he had brought up Alex, and I'm like, oh my goodness, I think I forgot to call him back maybe one time when it was something was going on. But we had talked, and so I kind of just reached out, and the first time we really ever spent any time together is when he came here, and it was really easy. Obviously, I knew his background, and I've known a lot of the guys that have come from that background. I don't mean the Gary Pinkel background, because I didn't even know all of that beforehand, but more of the Mount Union background. And that it's in itself is something I have the utmost respect for. So I wasn't surprised when I finally sat down and met him that, you know, we probably think very similarly in a lot of ways. And so it was a really easy, natural thing if it was going to be the right thing for him.
Yeah, to say Mount Union is a power, you know, we got in our state, we got used to what time is Mount Union playing Whitewater for the Division III championship. Coach Grinch was on three national championship teams at Mount Union. This was before the annual clash with Whitewater, but three years, you ran the table, right? With like 42-0 those 3 years?
We did. 4 years, we lost one game. And I do. I tell everybody around here, I was before the Whitewater years. to make it very clear, all due respect to Whitewater, but yeah, that's a great program.
And I bet that's the one game you remember more. The one loss.
Well, it is. It's just the way it works out, right?
What happened?
Why are we so morbid? Why are we so morbid?
Such a negative
guy. Tell me more.
He missed a tackle.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
No, it's a phenomenal run. So, obviously, this is a guy who's used to winning and knows what good teams look like. So we appreciate your time here. I know we both grew up in Ohio. We're both Reds fans. Maybe next year.
That's okay. Right.
Maybe next year. But definitely
time.
Not this year. So
no, not this one.
Let's hear it for Alex Grinch, everyone. We'll take a break. And we'll take a break more with Coach Pickle. Coming up in a couple of minutes to the Badger Sports Network from Learfield.
I'm Sawyer.
And I'm Shannon.
Together, we're Twin Stunts, the only twin motorcycle freestyle show in the world.
Born and raised in Wisconsin, so we want all our fellow cheeseheads to know that even though we clutch it up, hit 12, and drift in our show, we would never do it on the open road. And there's another thing we would never do on the road. Drive drunk. Drive sober. Or get pulled over. Together, we can save lives. Learn more at zeroinwisconsin.gov. Wisconsin DOT.
Hey Badger fans, the 2024 football season is here, and SeatGeek is here to help you experience all the action. SeatGeek makes it easy to find tickets so you can be a part of all the touchdown celebrations this season. Whether you're buying or selling tickets to Wisconsin football games or to any other live event in your area, SeatGeek is the place to do it. SeatGeek is the official ticket marketplace of the Wisconsin Badgers. The most disruptive idea in ticketing? A ticket that works. Expect the expected. SeatGeek.
Ho-Chunk Gaming Madison, home of the Big Win and Madison Casino Guru, is transforming guests into winners, making an ordinary day into a big win day is easy with a 95% average payout. And with over 140 daily jackpots, the number of people winning has never been bigger. So what are you waiting for? Escape to Ho-Chunk Gaming Madison for your next big win.
Ho-Chunk Gaming Madison.
Need reliable waste and recycling services? Choose LRS. Driven by service and dedicated to sustainability, we're your partner in efficient waste management. Need more? We also offer convenient dumpster rentals and clean portable restrooms for any event or project. Trust LRS for all your waste needs. Visit LRSRecycles.com to sign up for service. That's LRSRecycles.com.
Hey Badger fans, ready or not, fall tailgates and cooler temps are just around the corner. Trust your knowledgeable AirQuest dealer to deliver comfort and exceptional efficiency with an advanced heating and cooling system from AirQuest. To find the AirQuest dealer near you, visit AirQuestComfort.com and ask about our local utility rebates, financing for qualified buyers, and tax credits of up to $2,600. Surround yourself with affordable, long-lasting comfort with AirQuest. That's AirQuestComfort.com, proud partner of Wisconsin Athletics.
The Kohl Center, Camp Randall, the Fieldhouse. This is where the magic happens, where the best players lead with passion, fight with power, and win with exceptional performance. And now it's time we add another house to our Badger community. Meet Madison's newest powerhouse player, UW Health East Park Medical Center, home of top doctors and advanced treatments, all under one roof. So no matter the opponent, we're the place to defeat it. UW Health, remarkable.
Fickell Show brought to you in part by Zimbrick Fish Hatchery Road. Find your next new or used car at ZimbrickFishHatcheryRoad.com, a proud sponsor of Wisconsin Athletics. We continue with the Badgers head coach. We thank Alex Grinch for joining us this week. Fun conversation with the Badgers safeties coach and co-defensive coordinator. At the risk of, you know, wearing you out, because I know you've been asked about it a fair amount this week, but you've got a big name addition to the coaching staff as a senior advisor to the head coach, Jack Del Rio.
Great leather jacket game Del Rio had. Well, he's back with the Jags. He had was that part of the deal when you brought him here? Is that you had to get him a Badger leather coat?
We can do that. I have. I'm not sure that is still his style, but we'll have to ask him about that.
Guy who was an All-American linebacker at USC. Matter of fact, he's in the USC Athletics Hall of Fame, a Rose Bowl champ.
He might be in there for two sports.
Really good catcher.
Is that
really
right?
Baseball. Yeah.
He, out of high school, he was a draft pick, but Toronto. But he went the football route, which seemed to be a good choice.
The right move.
It worked out for him. Head coach with a couple of teams, Jacksonville as well as the Raiders. Right,
Raiders.
He was there
there
for a while, and most recently an assistant with Washington, but. Boy, a pair of eyes like that, who just knows ball inside and out. Give folks an idea, though, of the background. You've known Jack for quite a while.
So, we ended up crossing paths. So when I was in New Orleans, blew my knee out, and he had just got done with his career, and he was basically starting into the coaching ranks. He was an assistant strength coach. So for about 7 months, we were just workout partners. And that's kind of, you know, the first time I was away and had spent some time with him. And then obviously I was gone, and he ended up moving from the strength coach into the assistant, you know, to the linebacker coach, I think, the following year. Then in 2 years, he was the defensive coordinator in Baltimore. And so we had always just kind of stayed in contact. And, you know, even when he was in Jacksonville, I was in town, I would stop and see him. And not like we were, you know, going on vacations or things like that, but it was just, you know, you had a somewhat of a relationship. Obviously, you know, draft days and pro days and things like that, you'd spend some time. And I had been talking about this in the off season and looking, you know, I talked about maybe Vrabel, who obviously and I were close, and you know, he ended up staying in the NFL, and a guy named Chris Ash, who obviously was here and had coached here for a while, and was a guy that, you know, we're thinking about bringing in to say, okay, here's another set of eyes and somebody that can in some ways be honest with you, right? You've got a relationship well enough that, you know, they can tell you some things that maybe everybody else won't tell you. And I think that's was the big thing for me. And when Jack came and visited, you know, it's pretty easy. It's kind of like when you sit down with Alex my first time. Like, you know when you hit things off. Obviously, Jack and I knew each other. But and then the situation kind of came up, and we started talking about it. And I just kind of told him, like, look, I've been looking for, you know, somebody that could play that kind of role and give us some perspective. And obviously, with the landscape, as we all know, of college football changing, everybody's program is going to have to get into this revenue-sharing world of some sorts that we're going to figure out what it is. And obviously, it has some idea, you know, of what the NFL has done. So to get the knowledge of some people that see things in a similar way of how we want to build our program, there's a lot of roles that really fit, you know, for him to walk into and to really be an asset for us, even not just on the football field, but even some of this new age stuff.
I would imagine. I mean, he's just, you know, he was around during camp for a few days, and but he's still probably getting his feet wet, though.
Yes.
Kind of getting reacquainted with the college game right now.
Well, the key for a lot of these kind of positions like this is if you talk to guys around, you know, all colleges have them. I mean, some people have four or five of them. Mm-hmm. And you ask them sometimes, and if they don't really have a role, it's like, I don't know, how does that really work? Like, we're not a group that if you go upstairs and says, well, what do those six guys do? And it's like, oh, they just, who knows? I mean, that's just not us. I mean, not that we don't have a big staff, but everybody pretty much has a role. They know what their role is. And, you know, and I think that's the healthiest way to do things. And so the big thing for him coming in, it was, you know, will I have a role? Like, can you define something for me so I can feel like twofold, so that he can feel like he's actually providing value, he's getting knowledge, but in return, we are as well. And for me, it was big to say, look, I just need somebody who can really be honest. If there's things you see, if there's things that you want to say that maybe somebody else wouldn't say, I need to be able to hear those things.
I think if you would have brought Vrabel, that would have been probably too much. Like, it would have been too much honesty and too much truth for you to handle.
There is a point of no return. Like, okay, I don't really need to hear about all those kinds of things. But, yeah, so that might have been a little bit different.
Yeah.
But, you know, you just – not that you don't see everything, because you don't at times. You do get blinders on. But you also don't see your own deficiencies. You don't see some things that maybe you can fall into the line. And I've always kind of had – I've been fortunate, right? I've been fortunate being a head coach that have had somebody there that, you know, kind of was always that guy, you know. And you know, as things continue to turn over and you got a lot of newer people, you know, when you don't have some of those, you kind of worry like, okay, I don't want to be turning a blind eye. I don't want to, you know, not recognize some of the things that maybe, you know, somebody doesn't want to say. And so a lot of different roles for him. But I think getting his feet wet, learning our game, the game of college football, is what he's really excited about.
So before we get to South Dakota, I can remember special teams plays obviously make a big difference. And in that game, that was the most explosive play. How did that, I guess, were you after the game? Because it was well executed. I remember when Dan Conley, offensive lineman for the Patriots against us in Green Bay, returned a kick about 85 or 90 yards. And we're all on the sideline like, you know, we obviously didn't want it to happen. We're like, damn, that was pretty cool. After the game that he executed.
Well, actually, we actually attempted that same fake against our defense, against the punt or the kick, the field goal block team. Didn't execute it to the perfection that they did. So we felt good about if somebody ever did that. But it is. It's one of those things. It's a situation. Sometimes I kick myself. I'm like, I know something's up here. But, you know, you don't overthink things, right? It's a 6-point game. This gives them a chance to be a 3-point game. I mean, like, I don't know that I would do it at that point in time, but then again, you know, it is a different situation and what is your plan? So you can kind of go back and forth, right? I knew I should have said something. I knew I was ever actually hollering, making sure you know that 93 is eligible. And I kept asking the guys, I said, was he in the last field goal? Was that somebody new? Mm-hmm. And, just had a gut feeling, but you know, you got to be aggressive too, right? If we was sat there and safe and let the guy pound a 50-yard field goal or 48-yard field goal, you'd also would have been like, wow, we didn't put any pressure on him. So, it's difficult to overcome. Good fortune is we got him down at the 4-yard line. We end up giving up the touchdown, and then we had to battle back.
But on the flip side, we talked about it with Coach Grinch. When they had the muff punt, the ball took a bounce, goes off one of their guys, Austin Brown, falls on it. I would imagine that it was a great moment for the Badgers at that time, but probably a great teaching point too for your punt return team moving forward.
We talk about that specifically every single time, every week. We actually did the same thing. We didn't field the first punt, mm-hmm. right? And it gave them another 20 yards. And that's a critical mistake on our part. You know, knowing where to put the guy and you know, if it's a really bad kick and it's rolling, it is what it is. But we work it every week. Like, hey, if you're going to holler, you got to make sure it's poison. But it's not just poison to run away. It's the returner's responsibility to stay with the ball because nobody else really knows if it hits somebody, right? If you turn and run away and the thing nicks off your foot, you don't have any idea. So it's the returner's responsibility. So we talk about it. We show it. It actually happened. So we used it on both sides of the team for sure.
Let's get into to South Dakota a little bit. We talked with Coach Grinch about them. This is a team that, as you guys have said, they're used to winning. I think they're ranked sixth this week in the FCS rankings, and you know, obviously, really, really good team. It's a team they're very familiar with. Gave Colorado all it wanted last week. Those running backs, though, with Travis Tice, Charles Pierre, number 5 is Tice, 3 is Pierre. Quarterback is a big dude too, right? Is he a? Would you consider him a running threat?
No, he's not a big running threat. That's not a part of their game. They got so many running backs. They are very creative in their run game, so they don't use him nearly as much in the run game. But he is a big 6'5", 240, 245-pound guy that is a physical guy that when he has to and when he starts to scramble can do some things. But they are very creative. And look, I didn't grow up in the league, and I couldn't tell you the history of the league, but for 10 years of coaching with Jim Tressel, who was in that league basically in the YSU, like you had to make sure you understood the respect for that. And for 10 years, even though, you know, we weren't in the league, but he preached about it and talked about it. We didn't play any of the teams from that league. It's probably a reason why he didn't want to play some of those guys from that league. But I know this, that just from the way I grew up, and I say grow up, I meant through coaching, I've known a lot about this league and have an utmost respect for him.
What do you think on the other side of it? What does our offense have in store from against this front?
It's you know, some people would say it's a simple front, right? Well, don't take simple for easy. It's just they're very sound in what they do. They're very disciplined in what they do. I'd say almost methodical in what they do. Very similar to an Iowa. That's kind of, I would say, that's the mold of a lot of the things probably defensively that they look like. you know, it's definitely going to be similar in some ways to the things we saw last week. Some big physical guys, heavy shades. They're going to definitely make you have to work to own the line of scrimmage.
Any guys that you saw that had some flashes last week, and I know the rep count, especially on the defensive side of the ball, was low, but anybody that you think, I got to find a way to get him out on the field more this week?
Well, we definitely thought that about some of the backs on offense. You didn't get a chance to be able to see him. So there's a lot of situations there. I thought Cade Iacomelli, when he had his couple opportunities, really, really ran different than a lot of those other guys. And it wasn't just the one at the end of the last couple. He had one even earlier in the game that he's a little bit of a different gear. And defensively, I think we need to do a better job. We need to play more guys inside defensively. We understand that. We know that. And then obviously you saw a big play being made by a freshman corner in Xavier Lucas. It wasn't his first play in the game. He's a guy that was playing a little bit and had already been in, you know, 5 or 6 reps, but a guy that definitely will see more and more action as we continue to move forward.
Yeah, about 30 seconds left. Xavier Lucas, 6'2", about 200 pounds, maybe just shy of 200 pounds, runs really well. A cornerback. They're kind of hard to find, I would think, aren't they?
they are very hard to find, and he has definitely got some uniqueness to him. And not just his... You know, features like you said, 6'2" or 6'1½", 200 pounds, can really run. He's got a demeanor. He's got, you know, a personality that you wouldn't always say that you see from corners, right? A lot of times they're, you know, higher end, meaning, yeah, I don't say like, you know, the...
They don't want to tackle.
Hey, it's not as warm. It's a little warm out here. It's a little cold out here, you know. I'm not going to say they're like somebody else that was up here last week. But, you know, those kind of those guys that are a little bit, you know...
Hey, Travis, I think that's you.
But he's very unique, and he's got a great personality, and he is very calm and humble for a young guy that can play the way he can.
All right. Good luck to you. Good luck to you on Saturday.
Finish throwing a shot at him. I like that.
We're done. We're done. We'll take a break. Back and wrap it up right after this on the Badger Sports Network.
No response when you're the last shot.
It's time for Badger football. Get ready to plan your trip to Camp Randall this fall and enjoy our time-honored traditions like Jump Around and the iconic tunes of the Wisconsin Marching Band. With great tickets still available, you can join the crowd for exciting matchups against longtime conference foes like Penn State and brand-new Big Ten rival Oregon. Don't miss your chance to experience Badger football game day. Visit uwbadgers.com or call 1-800-GO-BADGERS. That's uwbadgers.com or 1-800-GO-BADGERS.
Which schools will take home the prestigious Learfield Directors Cup as the top college athletic programs for the 2024-25 college athletic season? You can follow the standings of your favorite team or alma mater at L Directors Cup on Twitter and online at TheDirectorsCup.com. Trophies will be awarded in June 2025 to the winning institutions in all college sports divisions. Learfield Directors Cup, the crowning achievement in college athletics.
Join the Wisconsin Department of Corrections and make a positive impact on lives across the state. Enjoy an excellent state benefits package and a nationally ranked pension program. The Wisconsin DOC is hiring social workers starting at $30 per hour, providing counseling and programming services, including substance use disorder programming to those in our care. To learn more and to apply, go to wisc.jobs. That's WISC.jobs.
At Jones Dairy Farm, we've been making breakfast better since 1889 from our hometown of Fort Atkinson, Wisconsin. We're a seventh-generation, family-owned and operated maker of all-natural breakfast sausage, dry-aged bacon, naturally smoked ham, Canadian bacon, and Braunschweiger. I'm Philip Jones, CEO and sixth-generation Jones, and it's a family tradition to use only high-quality ingredients and a signature spice blend that you can taste in every bite. Try Jones, a proud partner of Wisconsin Athletics, and go Badgers!
The big game, family, friends. We know you count on Alliant Energy to deliver the safe, reliable energy you need, whether you're watching the game, cooking your famous burger, or leaving a light on for loved ones. For us, it means going beyond the expected to make sure we're planning for the energy you need today and tomorrow. That way you can keep your eye on the ball and focus on what's most important to you. Find out more at AlliantEnergy.com/poweringbeyond.
Coors Light presents To Chill or Not To Chill. When your friend skips your favorite song on the playlist, end the friendship. Or choose chill because that song lives rent-free in your head anyway. And you planned ahead by bringing Coors Light to the party. And the sound of that ice-cold can cracking open was music to your ears already. Coors Light. Choose chill. Celebrate responsibly. 2024 Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado.
Hi, it's Matt LePay, voice of the Badgers. On the field, the Badgers are always on the move. Off the field, that's where Evans Transportation comes in. As Wisconsin's 3PL, they move over 30,000 shipments a year right here in the Badger State. That's dedication to keep things moving here in Scotty. Evans is excited to support Badger student-athletes and is a proud partner of Wisconsin Athletics. Find them at evanstrans.com. That's evanstrans.com. Go Badgers!
Hey, Badger fans, it's Bryson Green, wide receiver for Wisconsin football.
Cutting left of the five, touchdown, Wisconsin!
Join us in taking the Badgers to the next level with Camp Randall Club membership through VC Connect. You can help us achieve greatness on and off the field. In return, you'll get exclusive experiences, inside access, and opportunities to connect with student athletes like never before. Camp Randall has its visions set on victory. Do you? Visit vcconnectwi.com today to join.
Our coverage on Saturday starts at 12:30. Mike Keller with our pregame show. Tausch and I will join. Get you ready for the 2:30 kick. Wisconsin and South Dakota. These two programs met back in 2011. They meet again this Saturday afternoon. By the way, props to everybody here tonight. Big crowd last Friday for the opener. And it's supposed to be a beautiful day on Saturday. Getting ready for another big crowd at Camp Randall Stadium. We will talk to you Saturday from the camp on the Badger Sports Network. Good night.
Been listening to the Luke Fickell Radio Show, presented by Zimbrick Fish Hatchery Road. Find your next new or used car at ZimbrickFishHatcheryRoad.com. Also brought to you by SeatGeek. SeatGeek is the official ticketing partner of the Wisconsin Badgers. Find tickets to Badger games and more. SeatGeek. The preceding has been a Learfield presentation of the Badger Sports Network.
In here with the book.
I had actually handed the book in, and I want to say it was late January, might have been early February, and the manuscript was done. And all of a sudden, 2 weeks, and that was without him. He had not responded to my messages through the Jets, through his agent. I went directly to Aaron. I sent him my books on Belichick and Coach K.
Yeah.
And I got nothing but indifference and non-responses. But 2 weeks after I handed the book in, I got a message from the Jets saying, Aaron is now willing to see you. So I flew from New Jersey out to Los Angeles, drove to, by the way, I had a bomb scare on my flight. I got diverted to Chicago because there was a possibility of a bomb being on that plane. Thankfully, that didn't happen. But we reboard the plane after 7 hours in Chicago. I thought I was going to miss the interview for a while there. So thankfully, I made it to his place in Malibu, beautiful home right on the Pacific Ocean. His backyard is the ocean. It's a beautiful setting. And wow. I didn't know how much time he was going to give me, but I think what happened is I had contacted so many of his friends and associates. And I think over time they said to him, the guy seems legitimate. He seems like he doesn't have an agenda. And I didn't, I had no agenda whatsoever. And I think Aaron realized that. And he was willing to engage on some sensitive subjects, particularly the family estrangement. And he made it a better book over those 2 hours. And I very much appreciated that.
Wow. That's great. If you're, let's just say, hypothetically, if your plane had exploded and you couldn't make the meeting, do you think he would have put you on the island or would he have been able to look past that?
Oh, God. Well, I wouldn't have survived the explosion. I don't think so. I would have had bigger problems than being on Aaron's island.
Of course.
By the way, when I was driving to Malibu, they had like record mudslides out there in February. Boy. Terrible. I was afraid I wouldn't get to his house that way either. So... But he was very, when I got there, he was very cordial, and we sat in the back. It's a hell of a backyard. I mean, it really is the ocean.
Sounds like it. Jeez.
But because it's unauthorized, he didn't owe me anything. He didn't have any editorial control. He was getting no money from this project, not that he needed it. And so the fact that he sat there, and I would have loved 15 to 20 hours with him to tell the story of his life, but he gave me 2 hours of fact-checking that was very valuable.
Oh, I can imagine. Does that tell you that he read the book and wanted to meet with you, that he kind of does have a plan, or he does like to be unique or mysterious in a bit? Like, it's right there in your title. if he's giving you his blessing, so to speak, without authorizing it, does that mean like kind of the way he acts is part of his plan on some level?
I think a lot of people around the NFL believe that. And he has leaned into this villainous role in, yeah, the last 3 years that he was assigned by the media after COVID, after he said those four words, "Yeah, I've been immunized," when he was not vaccinated.
Right.
That really changed his entire life, never mind his image.
Right.
But he does seem to lean into that character, and he wants you to think he doesn't care what you say or what you write. But everybody I know who knows him knows that he cares an awful lot about what you say and what you write about him. So he's a fascinating guy, I have to say, very intellectually curious. And one thing that struck me was I said to him, "Hey, as a biographer, do you understand I have no choice but to write about your family estrangement? But if you feel I actually do have a choice and you don't agree with that premise, let's have that debate right now." And he said, because he's read so many books and biographies, he's a very well-read man. And he got it. He said, "I understand if you're doing my life story, you basically have no choice but to include that." And not, I've met superstar athletes, Derek Jeter, one of them, who never would have understood that. So I appreciated that he got it and understood I had no choice but to write about that part of his life.
That's really interesting. So, Ian, what was there a moment where you decided to write the book or something that happened? Was it his response to COVID or something? What was going on in his life when you started the book?
Actually, it was the trade. But I was always interested in him from afar. But I live in New Jersey. He got traded to a team that practices in New Jersey. He goes from the smallest market in the NFL to the biggest. And I thought it was the perfect time. At the end of his career, he clearly identified something with the Jets that would potentially enhance his legacy in the sport. And that is, it's a franchise that has not stepped in the Super Bowl since Neil Armstrong stepped on the moon. So that's a long time ago.
Yeah.
If I could win a championship for that Charlie Brown franchise in New York City, that is going to feel like I won three championships, not one. So, and he's right. That would be, if he pulls it off, and I've been doing this in New York for nearly 40 years, that would be the biggest New York sports story of my lifetime. And so listen, Tom Brady has 7 Super Bowl rings and Aaron just has the one. He's never closing that gap. But to win one in New York, I think would close it to some degree, because that ring would just feel a lot bigger than one.
Sure, or at least certainly enhance his own legacy. I remember when he took over, I felt like Favre kind of got chased out of town here, and I'm like, this is crazy. Like, I've seen what that guy does. You don't know what you have in Rodgers. Well, obviously they did, and I know they were competitive for a while. Rodgers wins a Super Bowl, and now here it is 12 years later or whatever, and you thought he would have won another one. So I think you're right. Winning one with the Jets would just put him in another category.
Yeah, it's amazing. Those of us here in the New York area are very jealous of Green Bay football fans, because you've gone from a first ballot Hall of Famer in Favre to a first ballot Hall of Famer in Rodgers to a guy who looks like he's going to be a first ballot Hall of Famer in Jordan Love. And oh, by the way, you had a quarterback by the name of Bart Starr who won 5 championships back in the day. So I've seen a lot of bad football played by quarterbacks in New York. So we're jealous of Green Bay fans. But yeah, it's interesting, because could you imagine if the Packers ever played Aaron Rodgers and the Jets in the Super Bowl? And it's not out of the question, because
right. The
Packers are right. The Packers this year considered one of the 3 or 4 teams in the NFC that could get there. And the Jets are considered one of the 3 or 4 teams in the AFC that has the roster to get there. And they got to keep Aaron healthy this year. And let's see how the season unfolds. But Jets fans are having a hard time buying in, because they bought in last year and they got burned after 4 snaps in the first game. And they're having a hard time really embracing the idea that this team could go the distance.
Listen, you don't have to tell me. I grew up in Chicago, so I've been dealing with Packer quarterbacks for the better part of 30 years. My guest is Ian O'Connor. His book is Out of the Darkness, The Mystery of Aaron Rodgers. We'll have a couple more minutes with Ian when we come back after a very quick break. This is Pete Schwabba and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is News from the Setter, WRCE.
It's time for Badger football. Get ready to plan your trip to Camp Randall this fall and enjoy our time-honored traditions like Jump Around and the iconic tunes of the Wisconsin Marching Band. With great tickets still available, you can join the crowd for exciting matchups against longtime conference foes like Penn State and brand-new Big Ten rival Oregon. Don't miss your chance to experience Badger football game day. Visit uwbadgers.com or call 1-800-GO-BADGERS. That's uwbadgers.com or 1-800-GO-BADGERS.
Covering all the news that affects you with humor and a unique perspective. Matinair on Air with Jane Matinair. Weekdays 10 till noon on News from the Center. 107.7 FM and 1450 AM WRCE and on the Civic Media app.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE.
Welcome back to Night Lights. We are talking with Ian O'Connor. He's the author of Out of the Darkness, The Mystery of Aaron Rodgers, who is a local legend here, obviously, in the state of Wisconsin, and still is. Ian, so what do you think people will come away with when they read this book? Will you change? Not that you're trying to, but will they have a different opinion of him, do you think? Will they give him some, cut him some slack, or what do you think?
I think more, I know more people who have read it have said to me that they like him a little bit more after reading it than they did when they started. There have been a few that have said the opposite. And so what I tried to do is really balance out the last 3 years of coverage of Aaron, which has been mostly negative in the media. And frankly, a lot of it self-inflicted wounds and unforced errors committed by Aaron. So it really was his doing in a lot of ways. The conspiracy theories on top of the Jimmy Kimmel dust up the old COVID misdirection play that he tried to run an end around on the media, and it just blew up on him. And So there are a lot of stories of kindness and generosity behind the scenes that his friends told me, associates told me, again, that he doesn't want to publicize. And his marketing agent with CAA, Ed Berry, is frustrated. He said, Aaron's a frustrating client because I want to publicize some of these things that counter the negative, and he won't let me. So I think I bring out a fair amount of those stories in the book to show a complete or to paint a complete portrait of the human being and balance it out a little bit. And also, I never want to tell the reader what to decide. I want the reader to figure out good guy, bad guy, or somewhere in the middle. And that was my goal with this book.
What do you think about how crazy was, I assume Out of the Darkness comes from when he went into the cave? And I'm hearing this secondhand. I don't know exactly what he took, but as I understand it, was some type of hallucinogenic or something. When I was
ayahuasca.
When I was a kid, a professional athlete couldn't say that. This is just crazy that he can just say to the world, "Yeah, I'm doing this," and people are like, "Oh, okay, you know, like maybe I'll try that sometime." You know, I don't know if things changed that much in sports where a guy could just be that open. Obviously, they have.
Well, he didn't do it in this country. Ayahuasca, he did it in Peru and Costa Rica.
Okay.
He had that friend I mentioned who was exiled from his life and is now back in, Jordan Russell. He went on an ayahuasca retreat in Peru in 2019 and came back and said, "Aaron, you got to try this." And he was dating Danica Patrick at the time. So he went with her to Peru, sat for some ayahuasca ceremonies and came away thinking, "Wow, this really was a spiritual cleansing, and I feel like a better man and even a better athlete." He said it helped him play better football. So I think he'll use it for the rest of his career, however long that lasts and beyond, really. I friends of his, more than one, have told me that they feel he is a better person since he started using ayahuasca. So it's helped his relationships, he said, with some people. Hopefully it will help at some point with his family. And I think ayahuasca is here to stay in Aaron Rodgers' life.
I think all of a sudden I feel like the only person who hasn't tried it. I don't know.
I haven't either. So,
we'll road
the two
trip.
Of us, I guess.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
So, all right, Ian, a couple more questions for you. You've written books about Belichick, Coach K, Mike Krzyzewski, Derek Jeter, Jack Nicklaus. Who of those icons, really? That's an impressive resume of books. who are you most intrigued by?
Well, Pete, the obvious answer right now would be Aaron Rodgers to try to get more people to buy the book, sure. Right? I think Rodgers is really at the top of that list because Belichick was a mysterious figure, but there was a sameness about him as a character throughout his coaching career. Aaron was elusive. He was considered one of the good guys in sports up until 3 years ago. He was being praised for his stance on Kaepernick and protesting athletes, and he rebuked a fan who yelled out a anti-Muslim slur during the national anthem, right? And President Obama thanked him for doing that. And Aaron was considered a socially aware athlete that the media was praising. And then all of a sudden, the same media members who were praising him for that really destroyed him over the COVID misdirection. And really, it was a lie, frankly. And Aaron did admit to me he made a mistake there. He doesn't admit many mistakes, but he did say, I should have told my truth at the time. And I do think he would have gotten less than half the criticism he did get had he told his truth, which was he was allergic to an ingredient in Pfizer and Moderna and concerned about Johnson & Johnson side effects. Had he said that, I think things would have gone a little differently for him, but he didn't. And he's a very smart person, but sometimes he's too smart for his own good, and that was certainly one of those times.
That's interesting. And what I'm taking away from this conversation is just that he is totally capable of contrition, which he doesn't always come across that way. Like, he seems to back himself into a corner at times and then just not really back down. But it's interesting to hear that to you, he said a few of those things where he's like, you know, I made a mistake. And that's refreshing, I think, to hear that.
Ian, you don't hear the all-time greats say that very often in any context. I was wrong. I'm sorry. They just don't say those things.
Yeah. I have one more question for you. I'm a writer myself, not books. I'm not smart enough to do what you do, but do you write? How do you write? Do you write every day? Do you have a set time, or do you pull a Kerouac and just get the mood catches you and you write for 4 days in a row? What's your process as a writer?
I'm better at night writing. I don't know why that is. I think many years as a sports columnist where I was writing after night games on deadline. Okay. And so I was used to really being locked in at night when the house is quiet and the office is quiet. But I generally like to gather as much material through reporting. And I interviewed 250 plus people for this book. And I didn't wait till I was done with those interviews before I started writing, or I never would have gotten done. But I would say I did about 100, 125 of those interviews and then started writing. And then, okay, I have a sense of where I'm going with this story. But generally speaking, I like to start with a scene that's present tense with an introduction in the book and then kind of take the life in chronological form. Well, in this case, I started with his grandfather, who was an amazing World War II combat pilot with an incredible record of service. There are very good reasons why he's buried in Arlington National Cemetery. But Edward Rodgers, that story had never been told. And I found all these documents, his 44 missions against the Hitler war machine. Just incredible stuff, acts of valor. And so that actually, I think, impressed Aaron, and he's talked about that publicly. And that might have been one of the reasons why he sat down with me, because he knew I was starting the book with his grandfather's service, a story that's never been told.
That's great. Ian, I wish you luck with the book. You're a four-time bestseller. You got the endorsement of Peter King, who called it a masterwork on Aaron Rodgers. I hope it's a huge success for you, and this has been really fun. I hope you come back and talk to us again sometime.
Hey, Pete, it was my pleasure. Thanks for having me on.
You got it. All right. Check out the book, Out of the Darkness, The Mystery of Aaron Rodgers. That is Ian O'Connor. So much fun tonight. Greg Vadney, I'd like to thank him. Mark Laffenberg for our popcorn pick of the week. And Ian O'Connor. And thank you for all your texts. As always, I will be back tomorrow night with more Nightlight with Pete Schwab. On behalf of Conrad, good night, Wisconsin.
News from the Center, WRCE. Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, political editor of Civic Media and Recombobulation founder Dan Schaefer joins us, and Todd Michaels with Ghost Stories.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 10.
Are you ready to give your business a kickstart? Reach new heights and boost your sales with WRCO Radio.
Give Henry a call today at 608-647-2111.
WRCO, this is Henry. How can I give you the business?
That's 608-647-2111. Let WRCO drive your business to success.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram. This is News from the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center. And always on the Civic Media app.